Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
It is 9:07 on a Saturday morning, which means the man himself, Walter Assey, president of Bernofco, is sitting in front of me to answer all of your home renovation and repair questions. 514-790-0800 is the call line. 514-800 is the text line. Walter, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I should tell you, Walter came in here and he said, before we answer these questions, I've got something to say about TerrasseGate. And as a citizen, as a CJD contributor, take it away.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to say, actually, about the subject. I mean, it does touch a bit home improvement or restaurant improvement or safety regulations and what have you. We're talking about 6 inches. And that 6 inches costed those poor businesses tens of thousands of dollars. In a city that is not friendly for business, let's not kid ourselves. Mm. Let's not try to sugarcoat it. All the construction that is done, everything that they do, they think about businesses last. Mm. You know what? We could go to any municipal city because, you know, I saw the mayor and she was talking about, you know, yes, it was a safety concern or what have you. I don't know how urgent that safety concern is that you know, at midnight they have to close on a Saturday night terraces like that and embarrass us in front of tourists and everything else. So that's definitely, there's a definite disconnect between the citizen and the civil servant that works for the citizen.
Yeah.
If I go to any municipal city, I can guarantee you I'll find tens of violations. Where is accountability?
Mm.
Okay, you. They make
and you. You can actually see the violations. That's
well,
your,
I mean,
you
I see it on
it.
Daily basis. I see it on their construction sites. I see it everywhere I look.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, where are they accountable? Every person that is holding public office.
Yeah.
That's what I think should happen. Every person that's in contact with businesses that have that power trip. Okay, that have that power. I want to call it power trip because what happened that day was a power trip.
Mm.
Okay, they should be holding a business awareness training before they hold that office.
Yeah.
If they don't run a business or they don't understand the business and the psyche of the businessman and what does this businessman do to the city?
Mm.
Okay, we all have safety violations left, right, and sideways. I mean, the whole city is full of violations. Okay, let's not kid each other. Yes, it's important, and I agree with it, but there is also a limit. And, you know, it's time to understand that business is important. They shouldn't be the enemy of the business.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just the city of Montreal. I'm talking about any city out there that is listening. Every problem that is created for businesses, we should make a big deal out of it.
And Walter is a businessman himself, again, president of Bernofco. And I'm telling you, he came in here and he said, Joe, I got something to say. So thank you for sharing that with us. We've got lots of calls coming in. Take a breath. I know.
Everybody's, I'm sorry.
No. Everyone is really passionate about this. And I'm happy that you had the chance to say what you think, because you were talking about violations. That's your job. You see that all the time. Okay, let's get to our first phone call. We've got Steve on the line, Jimmy, right? We've got Steve from Brassard, and he has a question to Walter about hardwood flooring. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning, Steve. Take it away. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yes.
Before I'm asking my question, Joanne, I'd like to say welcome to the CJED family.
Oh,
you
Steve.
Have very big shoes to fill.
I know.
And you're doing a fantastic job on doing it.
Oh, Steve, that's very, very sweet of you. And now I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Walter has the answer to your question.
Okay, last weekend I had an unfortunate situation where my kitchen got flooded and I had water going down into the basement. Luckily, the basement situation with where we had a thing, everything was good with flooring. It was an engineered laminate flooring. My issue is by the kitchen area, the dining room area has hardwood flooring. The water got underneath the hardwood flooring, and when everything dried up, approximately 3 feet by 10 to 12 feet of the hardwood flooring ended up having a wavy situation on the wood slats that we have. It's not a parquet. It is basically a 1.5 wide by, I would say, 4 foot long individual hardwood floor boards. My question, Walter, is since the waving is not really super predominant, but it is felt on your feet when you're walking. The area between each board, the wood has not really split and is not evident. Is it possible just to sand that area down to make it flat again?
Okay, so there's many moving parts for this question. What you're talking about, we call cupping, and that usually happens when the hardwood floors achieve a relative humidity above 23%. It starts to delaminate, if you wish. Okay, so did you have any intervention for drying when that happened, presumably by the insurance company, or did you call someone in to do any emergency work for drying?
No, we didn't have to do anything whatsoever because, like I said, when we were lucky with having a suspended ceiling in the basement, all the water basically just dripped right down onto the basement laminate flooring, the engineered laminate flooring that we had.
Yeah.
So with what we've done is we just had the dehumidifier running for the whole weekend. Like I said, the damage that we had was really super minimal. We did not have to really call the insurance company to make any claim because everything was above board with not being severely damaged.
Okay.
So like I said, the only thing that we really have is this, as you said, coupling of the hardwood flooring we have in the dining room.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it pays off to pay a drying or to call a drying professional or even the insurance company to see what can be done, and I'll explain you why. In a case like yours, if you would have called an emergency drying intervention company, they would have brought what you call rescue mats. And these are machines specifically designed to dry hardwood floors. So what it is, it's mats that you will place in the affected areas, and it's air and heat that is injected in the floor. Your main challenge with hardwood floors would be what's underneath it. So if they are, let's say, before the years 2000, typically it will be black paper. And your biggest challenge would be the black paper underneath it, because that doesn't effectively dry. It's like it acts like sponge. That's why today we use synthetic paper. So a different type of paper that does not disintegrate like black paper would. Having said that, in your case, yes, you can. If you're talking about the cosmetics now, I'm not going to go into the other things because you would have to test to see what's underneath the floor. If it's black paper, I would have recommended that you take out that area, dry it, and disinfect it. I would recommend, if you're going to do it for cosmetic reasons, you can sand that area only, but you will see a demarcation, obviously, because it's going to be new wood versus older wood. So the new, if you have it natural colors, the wood would turn orange. When you sand it, it turns a bit more whitish. So you will see that difference.
Oh, Steve, I hope that helps you out. And thank you so much for calling in. And Walter, we're getting lots of positive messages here about your statement to start off the show. Steve, have a great day and thank you for calling.
I agree with this statement too. So.
All right. It is 9:16.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
We are having a grand old time here with Walter Assey on the Home Improvement Show. It is 9:22 and the calls are coming in, 514-790-0800 for your questions, 514-800 for the text line, and Steve from Pointe Claire. Steve has been waiting very patiently. Steve, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have a question for the heat pumps for Walter. I'm getting quotes, you know, install a new heat pump, and some are saying, you know, I should have a 2-ton, but there's one guy saying a 2.5-ton I should install so I can get a bigger rebate from the government. And so I was just wondering, because he said it doesn't matter even if it's excess capacity with the new technology, variable speed, where it doesn't have to necessarily operate at full capacity. What do you think about that? Should I go for the larger heat pump?
Okay. To answer your question, I have to go through different steps first. What year construction is your home?
It's mid-50s. Yeah, I think 56. Okay. Or 56.
And mid-50s. So that's fine. Are the windows and doors recent? How old are they?
Yeah. The windows and doors are all recent. Yeah.
Okay. How big is the home? How many square feet approximately?
Yeah, the main floor, it's not a big bungalow. It's about 1,000 square feet. And then you have the basements, another 1,000 square feet.
Okay. So, look, I mean, it's the rule of thumb is it's a ton per 1,000 square feet, just like roughly. I mean, the basement, I would not consider it as necessarily, especially if there's no register there, as full living quarters. So 2 tons seems to be adequate as a size. Now, 2.5, if you would have jumped to 3 tons, would have been a bit more worrisome because that's way too much power for what you have. But before you answer that question, your good technicians should look at the size of your ducts to ensure that extra power is going to be accommodated by the size of the ducts because, you know, usually everything is also designed in function of the size of the home. 0.5 ton does not look like a big difference for you if it's going to give you more money back. As long as the furnace you're getting is a variable speed furnace as well, so you don't overuse the power every time it kicks in.
Yeah, we already had the furnace there. It's a 2018. It's a pretty new furnace.
Okay. And what kind of a heat pump you're getting?
Well, that's it. We've gotten quotes that MoveAir is one brand. I think it's the only one. We don't have many. There's not too many models that are compatible with the furnace we have, so they recommended MoveAir.
Okay.
And, so one said, 2.5 ton. That you seem convinced that, the others are saying 2 ton, I guess, for, I don't know, their salesmen, whatever. Maybe it's a better deal for them. But he was a technician. He says, we don't have salespeople. It's a 2.5 ton, so you get a bigger return from the government.
And how much is the return? Like, what's the difference?
I think almost... it's well over $2,000, I think around $2,700 versus I think maybe $1,000 for the 2 ton.
Yeah, well, then by all means go for the 2.5 ton.
So right. So the new technology is very good. So variable speed, you're never gonna it doesn't have to operate at full capacity, so it won't make much of a difference. So you're saying go.
Well, I mean, the furnace is what you want the variable speed. So I'm if you tell me 2018, is that what you had installed as a furnace?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What I'm more interested also in knowing is really if they're compatible, the new heat pump,
yeah.
And why you're not installing the same brand as your furnace then, if you're shopping for a new heat pump.
Well, I don't think they. It's like a Stelpro furnace. I don't think they make heat pumps, as far as I know.
Okay,
but that would qualify for the government. Rebate. I think there's only a few models that, because this thing goes to like minus 30, you know, the new technology.
Mm-hmm.
Should you also consider the heating load as well as the cooling load for the winter, or is that?
It does. It's all about capacity, whether it's your heating or cooling, specifically that your heat pump. Look, I mean, there's a couple of things. That might even reassure you a little bit. The fact that I asked you why is your home, when was your home constructed? It's a 1950s home, meaning you have 2x4 exterior structure, meaning you probably have R12 in your walls, which probably degraded through the years. So you already have poor insulation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So the 2 ton would have been your minimum. Going 2.5 ton is actually a bit more prudent, and I'm all for it, specifically in heating time.
I hope that helps you out. Does that help
you out? Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We've got Eddie. We got a couple minutes for Eddie here before we get to news. Eddie has been waiting patiently. Eddie from Pierrefonds. Good morning, Eddie.
Okay. Good morning.
Take it away.
Yeah, I have... a 1958 bungalow, and I was checking my soffits, and I noticed I have no holes at all in my soffits. So I removed a couple of the soffits, and they're nailed around the roof. They're nailed to 2x4s, so it looks like I have no ventilation coming through the soffits. So should I have those 2x4s removed and get soffits that have ventilation?
Okay. So, Eddie, before we do that, I would like you to look at the sides of your home to see if you have any ventilation registers on the sides of the house.
No, I don't know.
Okay. So you definitely need to have ventilation in your attic. What year construction is the home?
58.
Okay. So yeah, that's probably original to the build. You know, that's how building codes evolve. We think we have it right, and then we realize, oh, we have rotten attics, moldy attics, problematic roofs, and so on and so forth. And we realize, oh, wood needs to breathe, so we need to bring in some air into the attic. And that's what really the ventilation of the soffit would do.
Would all the 2x4s have to be removed?
Well, what you need, I'm going to give you, if you want a rule of thumb to follow, the minimum requirement for the ventilation should be a 2-inch continuous strip, unobstructed. Okay?
All around the house.
That would be the minimum. You want to go 3, you want to go 4, you want to go 6, it doesn't hurt, but that would be the minimum.
Yeah, now, the 2x4s are blocking that.
Well, then take one. You don't have to take all of them. You could take. Are they horizontally installed or vertically?
Horizontally.
Okay, so now you definitely need to take them out. Then you definitely need to take them out.
They all have to come out.
Or you could cut a trench in them if it's easier for you. You could cut a channel. Okay. Okay, yeah. On both sides and take it out. I mean, at this point, if you're doing all of that, you might as well just take them out. But what I would like you to do, Eddie, is stick your head in the attic and see how much insulation you have. If you don't have enough and you do this in the winter, you're going to get a lot more cold air coming into your attic.
Eddie, I hope that helps you out.
Yeah, that was a big help. Thanks
okay, have a great day. 514-790-800 is where you call for your questions for Walter. But it is 9:30, which means it's time for your CTV News Update.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Walter and I are venting our frustrations about the current state of construction in Montreal. So we'll take a deep breath. Walter, in and out. Zen. Get back to the zen.
And Joanne was asking the question, why is it always five guys and one guy working?
I was telling Walter that I walked by a construction site this week, got sexually harassed, which I didn't think happened anymore, and there was five guys, one guy working. So it was one of these situations, Walter, which words were exchanged that I can't say on the air. But yeah, I think he learned his lesson. Okay, who do we have here? We've got Joan from LaSalle, who's been waiting on the line. Joan says she's got a drain in the driveway that retains water. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Take it away.
I have a drain on the driveway at the... Well, you know, on your driveway, and the water comes down and it goes into the garage and then go down into the sewer. But the one in front of the garage door retains water continuously, spring, summer, winter, fall.
When you say it retains water, what do you mean? Like, is it like...
The water stays there.
Okay.
In the summer, you might have about 5 days of sun, 2 weeks of sun, hot sun. But there's water still in the drain.
Okay, and when you have a heavy downpour, does the water evacuate, or it overflows?
No, it evacuates.
Okay,
but the thing is full all the time.
Okay, so what you might have is a type of drain where you have a cement base at the bottom, and then the drain is high up there. So what the way that happens is that your pit will fill up, and when it gets to the drain, which is higher up, that's when the water evacuates. So my quick answer to you is that there's no magic bullet. It's how the drain was installed, meaning it's not, you don't have the drainage at the bottom, you have it on the side walls, and that's for you easy to verify. So when you take out the cover, just look where the drain is vis-a-vis where the water is. If it's lower than that, then that will be your answer. What's more important to you to know is if the water is being evacuated on a regular basis.
But everyone I know, when the weather is warm, when the water dries up, the drain is clean. They can clean the drain, remove all the...
I think we're losing you. I think we're losing you, Joan. Sorry, we're losing you. I think we'll wrap up this call.
Yeah, we could. Okay, so, I mean, it's very simple. You have to look at how other people's drains are constructed. Now, what happens in a case like you, like yours, water could evaporate if you have continuous days of sun. But if you have, if the position of your pipe or your drain is higher up in the cavity walls of the box, then that's going to be a situation where you're always going to have the same issue. But it's not really an issue, it's just the type of drain you have.
Okay, I hope that helps you out. Sorry we lost that call there. We've got Tony on the line. Tony has been very, very patient. He's calling from Cornwall, and he's got a big one for you. The quickest way to get a building permit. Ooh, Tony. Good morning, Tony.
Hi. I just wanted to welcome you also.
Oh, thank you.
I think you can build your own path and you don't have to fill anybody's shoes. And I think that you're doing great from what I've heard. And I just want to tell Walter I like listening to him because he's always willing to give us a hand. And that's amazing.
Tony, the check's in the mail. Thank you so
much.
We're going
to be keeping you for a while, Tony. We're going to answer all your questions.
Take it away, Tony. Take it away.
The thing is, you know, it's difficult in life. I'm speaking that I have two daughters, and I know that whenever women get into a field such as where we are today, it's an uphill battle, and I think that you're doing great, and I think that everyone should be encouraging.
Tony, you're making my heart's beating fast. Thank you so much, Tony. Okay, take it away. Well, you've got a big question here.
Listen, you know, what I'm disturbed about is that when I went to file for a new building permit, and I know you do renovations, but I presume it's the same for you, because I've heard you say before you'd need a building permit, and I've heard you're advertising usually you can get permits for a renovation. So I find the thing I found really abusive was that they asked for architectural plans, multiple copies, and they asked for full copies, and they also asked for these architectural plans in multiple copies. What I'm talking about, like 12, I remember 12, 20, 10, 15. It was like ridiculous. I can't remember exactly how many, but it was an enormous cost to me. And also, I found that the waiting period for the approval, for the different stages, like there's an aesthetics type of committee and another type of committee. Walter, what do you have to do to get through this process quicker, faster, and cheaper?
It's all going to boil down also which city. You're calling from Cornwall, right?
No. This is because I work in Cornwall, but also calling because I have properties on the island in Montreal, and specifically in the West Island.
And this is a new construction?
It was a new construction, correct.
Okay. Which and city in the West Island?
Well, one was in Pierrefonds, one was in Beaconsfield.
Okay. So
Beaconsfield was much more difficult.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Beaconsfield is renowned to be more difficult.
What?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, look, the way I usually do it, Tony, is I go and meet the city before I prepare my plans. Okay? And I kind of scratch their head on what are they looking for. Are they looking for modern? Are they looking for farmhouse? Are they looking for classic cottages? What is their preference, if you wish? And then I will show them different pictures of what my ideas are. And this is all costing you nothing at that stage, right? So if you cater to what they want, and then you get your architect to, you know, cater to what they want, for sure that the process becomes a lot faster, because they're not going to have much to comment on. And, you know, part of what they do, okay, is understandable, because there is urban planning and they don't want to have a modern house next to a heritage house, next to a classic house, next to a farmhouse. It will look like a mishmash. So there is a good logic to it. But at the same token, sometimes it's not logical at all, because you would fit in that category, but they want you to have a different roof line or different colors and what have you. Try to establish a relationship, because the person that takes your permit, they before they send it to the CCU, they say if it's favorable or not favorable. And if they come with a favorable opinion, then more likely the CCU is not going to, if you want, change anything in the plans. Although sometimes they still do, because, and the weird thing is a lot of these CCU guys are not even experienced sometimes in construction, or they haven't built a thing in their life, but they still feel like they can put give an opinion.
So I guess what you're saying is go to them first.
Correct.
And sort of, you know, you're not saying flatter them, but work, show your openness to
correct.
Them.
Reverse engineer the process. Reverse yeah. architect the reverse everything, right?
Do a
right?
Jedi mind trick is what he's telling you to
you know,
do.
And I'll give you an example. I don't know if we have a couple of minutes. I
mean, no, we don't. We have like 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Oh my God. We're on a, so maybe we'll do it after the
yes.
30
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Example.
Because it's 9:45. Tony, I hope that helps you out.
Yes,
and may the force be with you on this one. Okay, Tony. 9:45.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. 949-514. That's a lot of numbers. It is 949. The phone number is 514-790-0800. The text line is 514-800 to ask Walter some questions. Walter, are you ready for your next one?
Absolutely.
We've got Seth from Lachine, who's about to head out of town, and he's got some a question about like a potential checklist in the house, right? Seth, take it away.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm traveling for 6 weeks. And I want to know if it's advisable to shut off the hot water tank, also the air conditioning, and also unplug the electrical stove during my absence.
Okay. When you say unplug the air condition, what do you mean?
No, the air conditioning, I guess, the unplug one is for the stove. The stove, you know, I put the electrical fork up. I just want to pull it out.
Okay, pulling it out is not an issue at all. You could start by doing that. What I'm more concerned is what you're doing with your water, because more often than not, when you leave the home for a long time, you have to remember that our winters here are very harsh, so you don't want any frozen pipes that are going to burst when you're not home.
Yeah, but it's summertime that I'm leaving, not the winter.
Okay, still, when you're leaving your home for extended period of time, what I would do is I would shut off the main valve on the home, and I will bleed all my pipes as well, and flush all my toilets. Because while you're not there, if you have a burst pipe or a cracked pipe or something that happens, a weld that break on a pipe, then you know, you're not there for many days, so it could literally destroy your home versus if you discover it an hour later. So that's really your biggest worry. Now, the second worry that I would like you to also address would be your insurance policy. Now, most people don't know that, but you are technically not allowed to leave the home without a babysitter or a house sitter every 48 hours.
Really?
That's correct.
So every 48 hours, someone has to come to your house to check on it in some way.
That is correct.
Wow.
So a neighbor or a friend or what have you. I'm not saying that this will be an issue if nothing happens. It will be an issue if something happens and you know you were out of town and nobody checked on your house for a month, they might not cover you. So you have to be also mindful of that. Now, how do they know? Sometimes they could ask for the alarm logbook. So you're leaving, you put the alarm on, and they will just, see the logbook that nobody disarmed and armed the alarm for extended period of time and tell you, okay, you weren't home for X amount of days, so you are not covered. So I just want you to think about that as well. As far as what you need to do, water is where I would start. Seth, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, so Seth, does that help you?
Yeah, it helps a lot.
All right. Have a great trip wherever you're going. Enjoy it. And remember, someone needs to check on that house. Okay. We've got Giuseppe from LaSalle, and he's redoing his roof. And Giuseppe, I love your name, first of all. Take it away.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And yeah, I'm redoing my roof. It's a duplex in Villa Sal, and it's in Elastomer. But there's always been, I did the roof 20 years ago, but there's always been water on the roof. It never drains properly. So this time I wanted to fix the problem permanently, and I asked the roofer if there was a solution, and he gave me three options. The first one was to install a secure pan of a half inch in the strategic areas, and the second option was to install it in Bassiel by 4 feet around the drain, so the drain is lower, and that's about $1,000 to $1,500 extra. And then the third option he gave me was to install a slope in Bisonon, and that's a cost of about $5,000.
So, I mean, your best case would be the last option, which is essentially to correct the slope of the roof in general, and, you know, wherever you have pooling areas that the water actually channels.
You mean it's Bisonon?
Yeah.
That's the most expensive one.
It is the most expensive. But, I mean, whenever you have solutions, obviously you have the Cadillac solution, the Pontiac, and then, you know, whatever comes below that.
I like that, Walter. Okay.
So
yeah.
Not to insult any other brands. But, I mean, so you have to be very careful with the solutions you take. Some solutions will resolve part of the problem. It's to answer you on the two other solutions. I would have to make a study on the slope itself to see if it will correct it everywhere. Because, yeah, you might correct it in certain areas, but you might have pooling in other areas. Unless...
Yeah, that's what he said. There might still be a little bit of pooling.
That's
but
correct.
But it's going to be less than now.
Correct. But, I mean, so what you're doing is you're resolving part of the problem, not the whole problem. The reason I'm saying this is because for elastomeric roof, your worst enemy is pooling water. So if you correct 70% of your roof issues and keep 30% problematic, you're not really solving the problem. Re-sloping the roof adequately would be the correct solution because the other ones look like Band-Aids for me more than real solutions.
So your solution would be the third option, a complete slope in the Bisonon HR.
Correct. And what I would also want you to do in the process is get him to guarantee that the slope, that there will be no more pooling after his work and in writing.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a big undertaking, but make sure he does it in writing, because if he doesn't, then what's going to happen is if you ever have pooling, you say, well, we never talk about this area, we talk about that area, and what have you. If you have it in writing, then you'll have no issues whatsoever.
So that's a normal price, about $4,750 plus tax extra?
I don't know the size of the roof, so I can't really comment on pricing that way.
But it seems it's acceptable.
So $12,000 is for the elastomeric roof, is that what you said?
Yeah, $4,750 plus tax extra for the Bisonon.
Yeah, look, it is not cheap because it is a lot of work. Okay, so I mean that looks reasonable to me as far as pricing is concerned. For the price of the roof itself, is it a duplex?
Yes, it's a duplex.
Okay, and how much is he charging you just for the roof?
It's about $24,000.
Okay. I would get other coats. I would get other coats for the roof itself.
Okay.
The Bisonon seems to be where the ballpark would be.
Because the total cost would be about $30,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not jumping off my chair hearing these numbers. But just in case, get other quotations.
Yeah, get a second opinion, I think, Giuseppe.
But you think it's all reasonable?
It's within what I've heard before, yes.
Okay, then. Thank you very much for your help.
My pleasure,
Giuseppe. And you both have a nice weekend.
You too.
You too. All right, that does it for us. Walter, before I let you go, We talked about everything today, but I want to say happy Father's Day because I'm not seeing you tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much.
So do enjoy it. Thank you. I'll be off next week. You'll be back with Ken next weekend, and then I'll see you the week after that.
Jessica graduated yesterday. She was a valedictorian.
No.
And she did such an amazing speech.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Jessica, and I'm sure you'll all be celebrating all of this. I'll be back tomorrow with our Father's Day show, last-minute gift ideas for dads. Why do dads not take care of their mental health? We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll have all of it. By the way, what time is it? 9:58. It's almost time for your CTV News update.